didn't think I'd ever come back here.
You didn't tell them I'm a wildling.
She disgraced her house, her king.
She's torn our family apart.
We should treat them without mercy, and we will. Show them what we do to our enemies.
Welcome back, everybody, to Rant of Thrones, the poor man's Game of Thrones after show. I'm Justin, live from my bathroom.
And you can tell, I'm Kelly, from the same wonderful studio that I'm always in. So I should sound super awesome, and you're going to sound like you're from your bathroom.
Yeah, it probably sounds from my bathroom. But according to some people, the bathroom has the best acoustics of any place in your home.
If you think about it, if you're sitting on the toilet and you let one rip, does it not? It echoes nicely around and it comes back in this really warm way.
It does. It does. I don't really want it to come back in a super warm way, but the echoing part, I'm okay with. That's quite all right.
You know what I mean.
I think people just threw up if they were eating while they were listening to this podcast, because that's disgusting. I'm not actually going to the bathroom, people. It's quite all right. I'm not taking a poo during the middle of our after show of Game of Thrones. It's because I just moved and I don't have all my stuff. So I'm doing this from a telephone.
Oh my God, so old fashioned.
From a rotary phone.
You're lying.
No, not really. but through the power of the internets, we are still doing Game of Thrones after the show airs, which is pretty damn impossible and pretty cool. Not damn impossible.
You just mean you want us to pat ourselves on the back.
Or no, yeah, exactly.
Actually, we are patting ourselves on the back, and you'd like for someone else to pat it too.
Yeah, that we're still here in the middle of my move. But we're here to talk about Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 6, Blood of My Blood was this episode. And in this episode, an old foe comes back into the picture. Gilly meets Sam's family, who's one member of the family is a bag of dicks, that's for sure. Arya faces a difficult choice, and Jaime faces off against the High Sparrow.
It's really interesting to me because, once again, I'm going back and rewatching Season 1, which I keep doing over and over again. And so some of the characters that were in tonight's episode, I just had seen from Season 1. And that was fun.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I'm the same. I just finished up Season 1 on our 12 to 13 hour road trip on the way of our move. And man, Season 1, God, it was glorious. It was so, so good. But yeah, you're so right about that, because this show is damn confusing. I saw some people on Twitter, specifically Lincoln's Finger, Heather. She was having a rough time as well, because there were so many. First off, there was so much going on in this freaking episode. I wrote down my little cheat sheet as we're podcasting of just like all the characters that we saw. We saw Bran and Meera, Sam and Gilly, lots of stuff at King's Landing, Arya Braavos, and then Dany really shortly. And then the old foe that made a return was Walder Frey. So we haven't seen him in quite some time.
Right.
I don't recall if we saw him a lot after the Red Wedding, but I mean, he left such an impression during the Red Wedding that nobody will ever forget that asshole. And plus, I love David Bradley, so it was so cool getting to see him back, because we typically see him on The Strain.
Right.
And I like him so much more as Walder Frey, I think. I don't know. It's tough.
He's if you didn't know it was him, you wouldn't know it was him, because you know what I'm saying? The characters are so completely opposite of the way he is on The Strain. You know, he's just you're right. He is a curmudgeon.
Yeah,
on the
they're
screen.
Both grumpy old, like old men on both shows. But I will say that on Game of Thrones, he has better material to work with.
I will agree. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, which you know, we're not talking about The Strain. But if you love David Bradley, go check him out on The Strain. His little tiny piece in this episode had a lot of ramifications for the rest of the season, because if you didn't know who he has Edmure Tully. That's who he has captured, and Edmure Tully is the like rightful heir to River Run, which is basically where Jaime is going at this point to fight Bryden, the Blackfish, which is Catelyn and Edmure's, I believe it's his, their cousin, or I don't know. I forget where, who, you know, like who exactly he is. But so basically, and that's where John is headed to. So it's like shit is just colliding at River Run. And then we got Walder Frey's old ass who has like, you know, this captive, which is going to suck because at the end of the day, they're going to have to bargain with Walder Frey. And we all know how that ends. Not
yeah.
well.
Yeah. He's not a pleasant guy to bargain with. No. Maybe he'll, I don't know.
Maybe he'll die before it, then.
Exactly. He'll die of old age. But but he's one of those dudes that seems like, you know, he'll outlive everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole, like, Game of Thrones, the series will end. John, Danny, you know, Sansa, everybody's
dead.
They'd
be dead, yeah.
And then Walder Frey takes over the damn Iron Throne. What a bunch of bullshit.
We wouldn't have seen that coming.
No, nobody would have seen that coming. That would have definitely been... people would have been praising, well, they probably wouldn't be praising George R. R. Martin. They would probably be cursing him for decades and centuries to come if Walder Frey takes over the Iron Throne.
It's
so
funny, because the nice thing about going back and watching the series again, you can watch the After the Thrones thing on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the whole thing with Ned and how, you know, in most series, he would have been saved. The good guy usually wins, but in Game of Thrones, the good guy never wins. And that's what makes it glorious.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't like the good guys winning, that's for sure. I had a question about this episode from all the stuff that went down at King's Landing, because I loved how the Tyrell and Lannister's plan just went to absolute shit. I think everybody kind of could see this happening with Tommen, because the High Sparrow, he's fed him some lines of bullshit that Tommen, he's buying it. He's eating all
he drank
the High Sparrow's
he
bullshit.
He drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, he definitely is drinking the Kool-Aid. He's on the High Sparrow's teat, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Marjorie's on it as well, or is she just playing along? Because last time we saw her, you know, High Sparrow gave her his line of bullshit, and she kind of was like, you know, into the story a little bit. But then whenever she went to her brother, she was like, this dude's so full of crap, you know, don't listen to him, we've got to show our strength. But then in this episode, it was like a complete 180.
I think she's the ultimate player.
I think she's
super smart, and she knew that, you know, sucking up to him was what was going to get her out.
I hope so, but man, this was some crazy stuff that went down there. The fact that Jaime got stripped of his title of what, Captain of the King's Guard,
Lord Commander of the King's Guard.
Yeah, exactly, Lord Commander of the King's Guard, and Tommen, he just.
Tommen is just he's a puss. He just
he is.
Okay, but you have glossed over the most important part of this whole thing, and that was Jaime on the white horse riding up those steps. I literally swooned.
You did?
And I don't ever use that word, but I was like, there's only one word to describe it. I was swooning. Oh, my God.
I thought, well, I'm glad you said swooning. I was thinking another S word that you were going to say that, but I'm glad that you didn't take that.
I don't even know what that road. Don't even know what that word is, so I will skip over that.
It's a S-K-E-E-T, and then you say it multiple times in a row.
Oh, skeet.
Yes.
I remember when you sucked me into doing that one time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you just did
that.
Yeah, I did it again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have thought that by now you would have been able to spell that out in your head and be like, no, Justin's not going to get me again, but it still happened. but yeah, it was a badass moment for Jaime as he rode the white horse up there, and then it was all for naught. And
I know he wants to say, look, you little shit, I'm your father.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to your father.
Yeah, exactly. I did love, though, Jaime and Cersei plotting their revenge. And apparently it makes you super horny for,
oh my God,
you know, because they just, they went at it. Funerals and revenge, you know, just, actually everything makes them hot.
It seems to be the case. I mean, they love getting it on after, like, I don't know, just terrible stuff. I just wrote down, yeah, Cersei gives him a pep talk to get the castle at River Run, then they bone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they do like doing that. I'm kind of worried about Cersei, though, because she thinks that the mountain is going to, well, Franken Mountain is going to automatically win this trial by combat. But there's lots of theory and speculation going around that the other combatant may actually be none other than the Hound, reincarnated, I guess. I actually don't know. Reincarnated, but he would just be in a...
Yeah, but we don't know. We don't really know that he died because we didn't get to watch it.
No, we did not get to see that. But,
I mean, odds are.
Do you think that Jaime would be off at River Run? Cersei, you know, takes out Franken Mountain, says, "This is, you know, I'm doing the trial by combat. This is my, you know, this is my champion," and she gets killed.
That would be awful.
While Jaime is gone,
that would be awful. On this show, I could see it happening. I mean, there's certain characters that I don't ever want to see Game of Thrones without. You know, and she's one. I mean, because I love to hate her. But the thing is, I love to hate her, but I still love how much she and her brother love each other. I mean, I know it's disgusting, but they love each other. And kings and queens did it. Royal families did it for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Okay, we say that she loves Jaime, but just like we both said up front, we just finished season one. And what happened? Well, it was either season one or the beginning of season two. Whenever
it's season
she's jacking
one
up with Lancel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, that part, that must have been season two.
Yeah, I think that was the beginning of season two because I've gone back and I think I'm on episode three of season two on the rewatch. But yeah, I mean, she shacks up with Lancel real quick after Jamie's gone. So I'm not saying that she doesn't love Jaime. I definitely think she does. And I think that she's now closer to Jaime after all of their children have been, you know, been killed. And now she's got to deal with Tommen. She had to deal with Joffrey being a little shit, you know, basically taking away all the power. And now she's got to deal with Tommen, who, like you said, is a puss, but it's still undermining her.
Yeah. And to me, the thing about Joffrey was he was just insane. Because I'd forgotten how insane he was, but again,
so great.
Yeah, he was just horribly, horribly evil.
So much better than Ramsay. Like, you know, like I think, you know, now we see Ramsay and we see how evil he is, which we didn't get any of him or John this week, which I know both of us. My girlfriend was giving me shit about it. She said your boo was not in this episode, and I said I know, and then I cried my pillow.
Yeah.
It was sad not seeing either one of them. But yeah, when you go back and you see how maniacal Joffrey was, and it seemed like he was like so off the cuff, but in a way it seemed so calculating because he kind of knew sometimes when to pull back like his evilness.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, Ramsay, I don't know. Ramsay seems sloppy sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, Ramsay's one of those guys that, I don't know, he'd put you in the refrigerator to save you for later to eat, and then he'd forget and invite people over, you know, and tell them to get a beer, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Evil, but...
And then he would have to kill everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
And they could have been his friends, right. But, you know, but no. They're like, hey, you saw that, you know, that head in there, so yeah. Now I'm going to have to feed you to the hounds. So, I wanted to talk about a few other things quickly in this episode. Sam and Gilly, man.
Oh, my God, Gilly cleans up nice.
Oh yeah, Gilly was looking good in this episode. Because I've seen her in real life, and then you see her on the show. Because whenever Sam's mom and the daughter, you know, Sam's sister, they were talking about, oh, you can take a bath now. I'm like, yes, give
please
this girl
God
a bath.
Yes,
she needs it.
She looked amazing, but Horrible Hill his family home is what I call it, because his dad is just such a total turd. Was so lovely and green and warm and huge. I mean, so big.
Yeah, I didn't know that Sam was definitely, I didn't know he was balling like that.
Yeah,
that
he totally was.
Was amazing. I guess because you see, you know, the Sam we've always seen has just been the Sam at the watch, and they make his character out to be so, for lack of a better word, pathetic.
Well, we saw that same pathetic character at the dinner table.
Yeah, he's super meek, you know. I mean, his dad is such an asshole, and just anything that Sam does isn't good enough. It doesn't matter that Sam's like super genius level compared to like everybody else in Westeros. That, you know, as long as Sam can't kill a deer, then he's a loser basically. So another thing that really ticked me off, and I was like, I cannot wait until this family gets eaten by White Walkers, is everybody wants, anytime White Walkers get brought up with any of these other, you know, lords of any place in Westeros.
Lords of the warm weather.
Yeah, they all want to talk shit about the White Walkers. And I'm like, bro, you're going to get it. You're going to remember this when the White Walkers creep up on Horrible Hill and they eat all you guys. Which, you know, they don't really eat you, but, you know, well, the whites do, I guess. The whites, I don't know if they eat you or they just rip you to shreds.
I don't know. And I don't know what to call them other than all of them White Walkers.
Well, there's the White Walkers and there's the whites.
Okay.
Which the whites are just the,
I guess, bones.
Well, they're the ones that are the bones, and like the ones that you know, the Night's King raises up. They're basically the zombies.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, that's, I want to call them zombies, but I know people from, you know, purists of Game of Thrones will kill me. How did you feel about, because I don't remember ever having a discussion about Randall, Samuel's dad, having a sword of Valyrian steel.
I mean, I don't remember it being on the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I know from stuff that I've read that I knew that he had Heart's Bane. I did not realize that Sam was going to straight steal it.
I know, which I was so happy.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a good thing that he did, because, you know, as Sam knows, we all need to be stocking up on Valyrian steel to fight the White Walkers. So, and apparently, you know, obviously Randall Tarly wasn't going to be doing much to fight the White Walkers, because, you know, he's all concerned with who can kill a deer.
Yeah. Well, and
that's about it.
It's a shame, because Sam's mom and sister were just lovely people. And obviously,
Sam's mom was kind of hot.
She was very hot.
Didn't see that coming either.
No, and his brother was very good looking as well. And so I'm like, they overfed him.
Well, I mean, it's I don't know if it's they overfed him or just, you know, he probably took comfort in food because his dad was such a dick.
Which came first. That's the deal, you know.
I think it came first that his dad was a dick.
Yeah.
Because he was not cool at all. I loved how Gilly took up for Sam at the dinner table, and she was like, you know, he's more of a warrior than any of you, which is true. I mean, where were the apparently Randall is like this master strategist at war and stuff, which, I mean, his house kind of proves it. Like,
he's done well.
Yeah, his house looked like it was out of Bravos or something. Like, it looked. It looked like super fancy, not Bravos, Marine, I guess. Is it Marine where we've seen like the really awesome houses whenever Dany was doing all of her travels and everything? It kind of reminds you of like Egyptian pyramids, and like it's all really super nice, because all the, you know, everybody else, it seems like in Westeros, they had castles and stuff. And of course, King's Landing is super nice. It looked as nice as King's Landing to me.
It totally escapes me the name of the place where the sand snakes are.
Oh yes, Dorne.
Dorne.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Of. Yeah. You're right. I've tried to block my.
I know
my
you hate
Dorne.
You
out.
Hate
and
that.
I think everybody on the show, like the writers and creators, I think they've tried to block Dorne out too, because they have not traveled back to Dorne.
No, we haven't revisited.
Since the prince and everybody was killed. So,
but we will.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to have to at some point, because, I mean, Cersei's going to have to kill them, or they're going to have to kill Cersei. Either way it goes, I'm not really sure. So let's skip over to Braavos really quickly with Arya. She finally got to see Joffrey's death in person, and she loved it. She had some nice little chuckles at Joffrey's expense.
It was funny because I'm watching this play, and I'm thinking, okay, they just basically, they act out things that happened, and they're almost completely true to it, except they add some farts. It was the National Enquirer of their time.
It really was. And speaking of somebody farting, Tywin Lannister, the guy that plays Tywin Lannister.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that guy. I guess I didn't catch him whenever Arya saw him last time during the play, because it's the dude from Hudson Hawk.
Oh, is it really?
Do you remember Hudson Hawk back in the day?
Yeah, I do. The Bruce Willis's stinker movie. No one liked it. It was not critically acclaimed.
Well, it was acclaimed by me because I'm pretty sure I watched it a million times.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy's name is Richard E. Grant. He's been around forever, you know, since the 80s and everything. And I'm sure if you're listening or watching this YouTube video right now, you're probably like, yeah, Richard E. Grant, he's well known, and he's not just known for Hudson Hawk.
Well, it was,
but
I think
that's
he was,
where I remember him from.
In one of the Bram Stoker's Dracula.
He was in Dracula.
Yeah. And I don't know why we always have to say that first part of it, but he was in one of the Draculas. So,
yeah, one of the many versions of Dracula that have came out. But I just wanted to point that out because I really like that dude. Even though he was he plays kind of an ass quite well, because he gives Lady Crane shit for attempting to come up with some new versions of the ending of the play there and everything. So, but that's not the most important thing, because Arya, she bumblefucks killing Lady Crane up.
She doesn't bumblefuck it. She does exactly what she decided to do. She decided to be her father and be honorable.
Yes, indeed. Well, we don't know how honorable Lady Crane is, but I don't think she's done anything wrong. That's for sure. It's just that younger actress that wants to take over the lead role.
Yeah, you saw her
reason
mouthing the lines, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because we talked about this previously. How we were both like, man, the faceless men, they don't seem very cool. They don't seem like they're out to really help society along. They're just looking, it seems like they were just trying to line their pockets, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Which was, you know, our original thought was that they were good.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to help Arya, like put Arya on this path to, you know, getting revenge on every person that has ever harmed the Stark family. Even though, you know, they're the faceless men and, you know, they're not supposed to have a background or anything like that, I still thought that Jaqen H'ghar was going to, I don't know, he seemed like such a cool dude. But by the end of this, you know, this episode, I'm like, all right, Arya, get needle, stab Jaqen, definitely stab that waif.
She's I think the waif is for sure who's going to get it first, because, you know, Jaqen tells her, you're right, she wasn't going to cut it. Go get rid of her. And Arya's just sitting there in her little corner. It's like, yeah, come fuck with me.
You know, exactly. I can't wait to see her just stab the crap out of everybody. I feel like major bloodshed is going to happen in the House of Black and White. And then Arya's going to have like a billion faces that she can choose from.
Yeah. Do you think she'll take them with her?
I think she's going to do just like Sam did, and she's going to straight steal all of the faceless men's faces.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember until this episode actually seeing one being peeled off.
That was gross.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was, you know, surgically, it was very nice.
I felt like I was in an episode of Nip Tuck, which, man, Nip Tuck used to
That show was so bad. I loved the show. But
It was a great show, but, man, I couldn't. That was like... That and just all those surgery, I don't get, like, people can watch entire networks of plastic surgeries.
I'm one of those people.
Oh God. It's gross. And I was like, oh, did I really need to see that? But I guess it kind of hammered home the point of, if Arya doesn't do this, her face is going to get taken.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited about seeing what happens with Arya and everything with the Faceless Men. Hopefully by next week or the week after that. And then I think we got to end up talking about probably. I don't even know if it was my favorite part of the episode, but it was definitely meant to up be. There.
Yeah,
it was meant to be. I mean, I certainly enjoyed it, and that is of course Brandon Mira. God, even watching that previously on at the beginning of the episode with Hold the Door and seeing Hodor get ripped to pieces. Yeah. I mean, it makes you want to weep for Hodor. But we got a really cool reveal in this episode because Brandon Mira, they get away, and then this badass dude that, you know, he's super mysterious. You can just see like the top of his face. He comes in and just kills all of these wights, like just destroys them with his like fireball.
I'm not sure what you call those. Isn't that a mace? The thing that you swing on the metal ball that's on the end of a chain, I think is a mace.
I thought it was.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously this one was on fire, so.
Which is even more badass.
Which was way cool. And I don't know why it reminded me of The Walking Dead when, Michonne or was it? No, it wasn't Michonne that came in on the horse. It was actually that other girl. We haven't watched like
Maggie.
Remember when she comes in on the horse and she saves everybody and she, you know, she's like in the forest and she whacks them on the head and then she, you know, runs out and says, you know, come to the house.
She says, "Hey, get away from here."
Yeah, she says. She says.
I'm doing my best Game of Thrones.
No, she says. No, she did it first. So I'm just saying.
Oh.
That's okay. Remember when she came to get Laurie after Carl was shot.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. It just reminded me of that for just a second. So please, do not make fun of me.
I mean, I don't think Maggie's quite as badass as Cold Hands Benjen Stark.
Okay, you're probably right.
Maggie's pretty badass. I don't know. I think I would prefer to watch Maggie ride in on the horse than Benjen Stark. I mean, even if you think Benjen Stark is a handsome man, he was basically covered from head to toe. You could just see right above his nose line in his eyes.
I was afraid
all you could see.
I was afraid we weren't going to get the reveal.
I was thinking they may play that out a little bit, drag it out. But I'm glad that they didn't, and it was a super cool reveal. I mean, because Benjen Stark, he's awesome. He was one of the best Rangers in. You know, of everybody. So, I mean, at Castle Black, he was a badass, and he's been missing since season one, and everybody's been like, where's this dude at? I thought he was, honestly, I thought we were going to get him as, like, a White Walker or one of the Whites or something, that he was going to be bad eventually. Thank God that he's not, because he's badass. And we hear the story that, you know, the Children of the Forest, they saved him, which... Now I'm kind of curious, is he like as badass as the Night's King?
Well, I mean, it's like he got the poison.
Yeah, he got the same the dragon glass sword put in him.
Right.
To help save him as according to my interpretation of what he said, because, you know, we just watched the episode. That's what I thought. So I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, you know, he rode in like a beast
and destroyed
all those dudes.
Yeah, and his eyes had just this weird fiery, the opposite glow of the Night's King.
The icy blue of the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see going forward. And plus we got like that super creepy flashback sequence where Bran basically sees the history of the world in that flashback sequence, because it was somebody on Twitter that I follow. I think it's a Song of Ice and Fire. He does YouTube videos. He's great. I really like his stuff. He's very opinionated, but I respect that. That's awesome. He took some like screenshots, I guess, as he was watching the episode. Because, you know, you see the Mad King and he's like, burn it all. And you see, you know, Jaime stabbing the Mad King and everything, which was really cool to see. You saw a lot of other stuff in that. I mean, I would have to go back and, like, you know, screen capture right. each one of those little flashbacks because they were so quick. But it was really incredible to see. I can't wait to go back and actually do that, and so I can figure out what the hell was in each one of those flashbacks. But it was really cool to get to see all those things. It was really neat. Did you catch any of them that caught your eye, or were, I mean, they were really quick?
It was so quick, and of course, as always, I'm doing other things while I'm watching. But I just thought it was, again, for me, it was fun because I was seeing a lot of the things that I had just seen in season one.
Yes.
So that mostly I was just going, I just saw that. I just saw yeah. that. So, but he was obviously seeing things that weren't flashbacks for himself.
No, he was there.
Other people's memories and yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, which was cool. And I'm guessing that whatever the Three-Eyed Raven did right before he died, you know, he's basically downloading the Matrix, everything in the Matrix to Bran at this point,
right.
You know, because he's still basically, I guess, warging at that point at the beginning of the episode, whenever Mira's dragging him and she's freaking out and, you know, he's seeing all the flashbacks and everything. So I'm assuming that this is part of the training, that this is kind of completing the training for him. So that way he knows the history of everything, which is really cool. There's so many like crazy ass theories of Bran and, you know, who he actually is. And I don't know. It's crazy to think that a show like Game of Thrones, which is like, you know, high fantasy, which is cool, has lots of magic, but now it's incorporating so much time travel stuff. Like,
yeah,
I feel like now I'm watching 12 Monkeys.
I know. And it, I didn't want time travel stuff in Game of Thrones.
I like it, you know, but I'm also like super in, I love time travel stuff. Like it, I love when it blows my mind. I love like thinking about it for hours and hours.
I love Back to the Future too, but also.
Wait, yeah, I was about to say, did you not love Back to the Future 1?
I meant also.
Because 3 was badass when they went to the, you know, in the Wild West.
The whole
cool.
series. I love the whole series. I don't know. There's some things that you feel like you understand this world in the little way that I can understand it. But when you start putting time travel in there, it's like, oh shit, now my mind really is not going to get wrapped around this.
Yeah, it's, I'm pretty sure, which I have already done, you can get lost in trying to decipher everything and all these meanings and the hidden meanings and, you know, was Bran only seeing flashbacks? Was he seeing flash forwards as well? Because, you know, we know that Cersei has some kind of evil plan. She could be thinking about just destroying all of King's Landing because they have, what was it, the wildfire that the crazy maesters had made back in the day. You know, that they used whenever Stannis was mm-hmm. trying to attack King's Landing mm-hmm. and Tyrion had them use the wildfire and mm-hmm. destroyed all of Stannis' mm-hmm. ships and everything. Because you see that one spot in the flashbacks or the flash forwards where everything is exploding and it looks like it's in the Red Keep is where it looks like it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy crap, is Cersei going to just basically blow up King's Landing because there's no other way to beat the High Sparrow because this dude is just so damn good at what he does.
That would be excellent.
It would be. So, yeah, so I don't know if they were all flashbacks. They could have, like I said, they could be flash forwards.
Visions.
Who the hell knows at this point? Yeah, visions of the future. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait. I mean, this damn episode, even though it was like
Shut your mouth! I don't even know what.
I was gonna say
bad crap gonna come out of there.
No. I was gonna say it was more. It felt more of like a disjointed episode. Like there was a lot that went on. There's always a lot that goes on in Game of Thrones, but for some reason this one felt a little bit like they were stuffing a little bit too much into the episode, especially like the Dany scene. I felt like the Dany scene was I don't know. It felt kind of out of place compared to the rest of the stuff. I guess. They always kind of, it seems like they always feel like they have to leave off on some like dun da da da, like bad, right. like badass, you know, epic moment. But I didn't need it. I didn't need that in this episode for it to. They're all good. Like every episode is really good. But for me, that portion was the only one that kind of felt a little bit out of place. But because it's like they keep coming back to that, I'm like, okay, you know, she came out of the fire. That, you know, hyped everybody up. Now she's like, oh, I got to get on Drogon's back because this is going to hype, you know, they're going to be hype as fuck after this.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I did want to point out that that scene was a little unrealistic because if you have a big ass dragon like that fly over you when you're on horseback, your horse is going to buck you off.
Yeah, they definitely are. The horses will buck you off like at a cell phone going off.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, I would have been, you know, she'd have been doing this speech, you know, are you going to follow me for now and for always? And, you know, I would have been being drugged behind my horse, and, you know, the other direction.
Yeah, all the horses would have been just like hightailing it out of there.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I mean, I get that these people are supposed to be the horse whisperers, basically, right. But. You've been riding horses
for a long time,
like in your teens.
No, actually, in my single digits.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I will point out, Drogon is getting freaking huge. He's big,
ginormous.
Yeah, I think the other two dragons are going to be like miniature dragons whenever Drogon comes back to them. So, but no, overall, I love this episode. I thought it continues the badassery of season six. This season is just incredible. Absolutely loving it. Can't wait for next week. We better get some Jon Snow. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get any Sansa in this episode, but I went and saw X-Men Apocalypse today, so I feel like I got my fill of Sansa being badass because she was badass in Apocalypse.
Yeah, nice.
Just had to, you know, give Sophie Turner some props.
Yeah. Give her some love.
I wasn't sure. My girlfriend and I both weren't sure. Like, we're like, okay, can she pull something else off outside of Game of Thrones? But I think she did an excellent job as Jean Grey in X-Men Apocalypse. So go if you're missing some Sansa this week, go check her out in that. So do you have any other final thoughts on the episode?
No, I think we covered it all.
I think so as well. I'm looking through my notes here.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm looking through mine and I see that, you know, check.
Randall Tarley, asshole.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's about it. I think the number one thing to take away from this, there's still some old assholes around.
Yeah.
Randall Tarley and Walder Frey. I think Walder, I think he might die pretty soon. So, might be glorious to see that happen. I'm hoping one of the Starks get him because they deserve to get some retribution.
Yes.
For his ass.
It would only be fair. Do we rate the bacons? And
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. How many bacons do you give it?
I give it out of five bacons. I'm going to give this one five bacons.
Oh my God. Back-to-back five bacon episodes. Okay, I'm going to give it 4.25 bacons. It got one of those bacons is a quarter.
Oh.
And, you know, because there was no Jon Snow. So you got to take away you know, at least three quarters of a bacon.
I get you.
Because, you know, we got to see that sexy, sexy hair.
That's true.
You can, I guess, email us, at rantpocalypse@gmail.com. Leave all your comments in the comment box down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode. We would love to know, do you ever think about
John
doing
Snow's
YouTube
hair.
Videos?
Oh,
while you're in the bathroom, you know. Jon Snow's hair while you're in the bathroom.
That's just creepy. That is super creepy.
That's where you end it.
That's where we end it.
So thanks so much for checking our video out. If you like this content, hit subscribe.
Oh, God.
Bye-bye. Tell you something.